And now the gospel lesson. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, you're going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." And Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." And Simon Peter then said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need wash except the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. And for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." And after he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and he returned to the table. And he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You called me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. And very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor messengers greater than the one who sent them. And if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Then Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. And if God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little while longer. And you will look for me. And as I have said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
I was 23 years old when my father was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. My mom and dad got home from the doctor when he was diagnosed, and I lived with them at the time. My mom got my dad settled in the house, grabbed my hand, and led me to my car, the first one I bought for myself, a red Chevy Cavalier. She said, "Just drive." Now, we lived in Abilene, Texas, and one of the sayings in Abilene is that everything is about 15 minutes away. So we took the loop around and drove around the whole city, which took about 15 minutes. She needed to drive around again, and so we did. And again, and again, and again. We ended up driving around the loop for several hours late that afternoon. She cried. She talked. She sat silently looking out the window. She held my hand. We even laughed a little about how many times we were going to drive around Abilene. Sometimes you just need to drive. There are times in our lives when we hear words that we know are going to change us forever. The words we heard were, "He has cancer." Other words might include, "We're getting a divorce. We have to let you go. There was an accident." Or, "We cannot afford that." Other words we might think to ourselves but not say them out loud. Words like, "I'm lonely. I'm so tired of feeling sad all the time." Or, "I'm in such a rage by all the injustice." For all of us, at some point or another, we have heard words that make us just want to get in a car and drive. Of course, we know that pain is a part of life. If we open ourselves up to life, then yes, we will experience happiness and celebration, but we will most definitely experience loss. Loss of a job, loss of a friendship, a home, a reputation, freedom, loss of a dream, or the loss of a loved one's life on this earth. If we love, we will lose. Jesus knew this truth. He lived it. Our passage from John begins by saying Jesus knew his time had come to depart from this world. He knew. He knew that the way he had lived his life was going to lead to the loss of his life. I wonder about the dread he must have felt when he was with his friends at the table that evening. Was he imagining the physical pain of the execution that awaited him? And on top of that, he was facing the betrayal of a friend and the injustice of a system that would take the life of an innocent man. This innocent man disrupted the system that wanted to protect its power by always winning, desperately afraid of losing. But Jesus wasn't afraid. He loved those who, by the world's definition, had lost at life. He loved the losers. He loved those outside of the boundaries of who was supposed to be acceptable. And Jesus also served, which often isn't a picture of a winner. To win is to be served, not really to serve. Even amidst his own painful anticipation on this evening, Jesus takes on the form of a servant when he wraps the towel around his waist. The servants of that day would wash dusty feet in homes as they came in for a meal. This was a sign of hospitality and a way of welcoming and taking care of one's guests. Jesus cared for his disciples when he knelt down and washed their dirty feet, giving them the peace of feeling refreshed. It was an intimate and relational act. He moved in close, touched their skin, took the lower place. And it made them uncomfortable. This was the man they loved, a man of power, a man they respected. And his willingness to put his hands in that dirty water, it was too much. It opened their hearts too much. It made them love him too much. It was going to take the pain of what was coming that much harder to bear. But Jesus, he had to show them how God loved them and how they must love each other. Real relationships require moving in close and getting in the mess. It requires opening one's heart to sadness and pain, your own or someone else's. To love requires empathy. And love and empathy, these were the reasons Jesus was facing his own execution. He knew that to love sometimes meant to lose. And at this point in his life, Jesus was on the losing team. Our current culture seems to be obsessed with winning. And there's a lot of talk going on right now about the sin of empathy. Our own Alan Bean wrote an article for this recently for Baptist News Global. Alan points out that some people today view empathy as representing weakness or being manipulated by people's emotions. And in order to win, we must turn away from empathy. He quotes one author who says this: "We can't care about hurting people who live outside of the borders of God's family without damaging innocent people." In other words, this person is saying faithful Christians must harden their hearts. Alan explains, if there is only this simplistic dichotomy of winning and losing, then there is no place for empathy. He also helps the reader understand that empathy isn't a feeling, it's an orientation. It's a way of saying, you matter. But empathy will cause discomfort. It's not usually the way to win. And it may involve getting close to someone's dirty feet. Empathy is the harder route, but it's the only route if we choose love. The truth is, anyone obsessed with this win-lose dichotomous way of thinking, anyone who turns their back on empathy is simply self-protecting for the fear of pain. And of course, this makes sense. But it's a futile game. It's unsustainable if one allows oneself to experience real relationships. At some point, everyone loses. And to call oneself a Christian is to view a Christ that washes feet and dies on a cross. When life comes crumbling down for those of us who cannot accept losing, will we then open ourselves up to see the face of our empathetic God who is deeply familiar with loss? Will we choose the God who says, "You matter to every person"? I hope so, because this is the God I want to follow. When Jesus was in the garden before he was arrested, he wanted his friends to be with him during his time of suffering. The scripture says he was grieved to the point of death and asked them to remain with him. They entered into his brokenness with him because of his vulnerability and because they loved him. My mom asked me to enter into her brokenness with her that day that my dad was diagnosed with cancer. When I look back to that day in the car, I knew that pain was inevitable. It was coming for us, and we had no choice but to walk straight toward it. But I also knew, and I know now, that we were never alone. We weren't alone that day in the car or the years of suffering that came after that day. We weren't alone the day we lost my dad to cancer or the years after that when we had to learn to live without him. We have always been held by a God who understands what it is to lose. We are all held by this God, a God who knows all the heartbreak we know because God has gone through it. And with God, we walk through it. We cry through it. Sometimes we might drive through it, but we are never alone through it. We hold the hand of the one who shows that it is so much more important to say you matter than it is to be on the winning team. Amen.